We are surrounded and we are filled by God's loving Spirit, filling us up just like those notes. So how is God's presence healing? May you receive the Holy Spirit as a gentle touch on your tense shoulders or a warm blanket around your weary back or a fizzy drink for your upset stomach. Just how are we healed when we pray together here for God to be at work in each other's healing? What are we asking for and what do we expect? There are so many rich places to go with these scriptures from the lectionary for today. They're so provocative and profound, and as I sat with them through this week, I also was sitting with the texts of our own lives and aware of how many deaths we've seen recently, how many of us are grieving, and how many people are waiting for news, good or bad news about health, let alone all of the woes of our country right now. So it feels like an important time not to be too trite or idealistic about what God's healing power is like. Because there's that outright cure of healing like the blind man experiences. And some of you have stories of that kind of healing, maybe without the mud. Stories of praying to God for a cure, and then the cure comes. Good news, praise be to God. And there's a slightly subtler healing of reconciliation when we find we are able to forgive each other, open our minds and hearts to one another, even the transformation and forgiveness we can find for our own selves, like Evan's witness to reconciling with his own self in a deeper way, leading to greater trust and faith and confidence. Praise be to God for that good news. And sometimes we pray over and over, faithfully, sincerely, and the cure doesn't come. The reconciliation doesn't come. So is God not listening? Are we not doing it right? And so take a little trip with me down memory lane, back to my days as a hospice chaplain. Most of the patients and families I worked with accepted that death was coming. You kind of have to be on hospice, because officially to be eligible for hospice care, a doctor has to say that death within 6 months would be a natural progression of someone's state of being, illness, aging process. Some people do live longer than 6 months on hospice, but to receive hospice care, then inevitability of death has to be on the table and close by. But that doesn't stop people on hospice and their families from praying for miracles, and sometimes miracles come. People occasionally have to quit hospice because they get too healthy. But most of the time, hospice is an invitation to pray for other kinds of healing, for other miracles. And that's where I would come into play as the chaplain, because the nurses were the ones to call about pain management, the healthcare aides are the ones to call when you need help showering and dressing safely, call social work to get financial support or help with transportation or companionship, and look to the chaplain to figure out what to pray for. I make it sound simpler than it actually is, because the stress and sadness that accompany death and dying muddy our brains, and patients and families don't actually think systematically about any of this. But we, as the staff, read between the lines and listen underneath the words and look for deep needs that haven't been named yet. A family admits that their long-lost son doesn't know dad is dying. They haven't talked to him in years, and the miracle we pray for is reconciliation, that relationships be healed rather than the father's body be healed. Or a lonely widow just wants to die, sees no reason to stay on earth. She said goodbye to her friends as they have passed on one by one. Her daughter and her husband are already dead. What does she have to live for? And so we can pray for the healing of death. Pray that her miracle be to reunite with loved ones in the hereafter, and we do, because she wants that comfort, And I ask her about her life too, and we tease apart some stories to find the wisdom she has gained along her life's journey. And she finds another miracle that she has a legacy to leave in this world. But most of my hospice patients didn't have the words to share their struggles. I romanticized hospice, thinking I would hear people's stories all day and work with them to say meaningful goodbyes, but most of the patients I saw in hospice were living with advanced dementia, in nursing homes, and rarely had visits from families or loved ones. They weren't using words anymore. So what healing do we pray for? What miracle should I ask on Beth's behalf? Beth had been on hospice for over a year when I started visiting her, and she was still alive when I left the hospice company. I would visit her at mealtime because she was most likely to stay awake at mealtime. It takes a full hour to feed Beth her lunch. She chews slowly, just like doctors say we all should, but who other than a 96-year-old has the time? Her eyes scan the room, following all of the bustle in her memory care unit's lunchroom. Some visits, Beth can feed herself. Yes, it's often eating toast with her fork and scrambled eggs with her hands. But one visit, I could barely wake her. Even once she began murmuring, minutes passed before she could find the energy to open her eyes. Beth usually talks incessantly, and I would have no idea what she would say. Word salad is the technical phrase for speech that uses real words, but they're tossed together in incomprehensible ways. But Beth tosses in more babble than actual words. Yet her emotion is clear. I can always tell when I'm supposed to laugh. Her eyebrows shoot up, and she waits with this expectant smile. Or answer a question, she would cock her head. When I would give the appropriate response, she resumes her stream of words and sounds, and Beth's chart says she's Catholic. So I reach for the power of prayer, not prayer's mysterious power to heal, but prayer's mystical rite of return. For 96 years, Beth's had the habit of the Hail Mary, the rhythm of the rosary, the memory of murmuring so many glory bees and glorious mysteries, countless apostles, creeds, and amens. Myself a creedless brethren, I have a rosary app on my phone. And if I could recite the first couple words of a prayer, Beth and her memory impaired peers usually could take it from there. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And it is with Mary's companionship that we can pray about dying. And then we serve communion. And in the memory care unit, communion is sit down, full service. We have bread and juice on trays, and we walk and wait among the wheelchairs, listening for amens. Beth reaches not for the bread, not for the cup. She takes the whole tray in both of her hands and says, I need this. Is it a miracle? Is it a coincidence? Does it really matter to Beth, or does it just matter to me? Because I want to know that I'm doing something on God's behalf here. I want to believe I'm making a difference. It is certainly a mystery. How we are healed is a mystery. So we are wise to be creative, to see that the miracle may not be a cure. It might be a reconciled relationship. It might be an openness inside ourselves that no one else even knows. We are wise to trust the mystery of healing and to soak up the gentle presence of God that is always at work around and within us. Beth could not find her own words most days, but she could recall the Hail Mary, the Our Father. She could say the 23rd Psalm with me. And actually, all of my hospice patients could. They might not have been able to recite it from memory if I didn't say it along with them, but those words and phrases are deeper in their minds than dementia is. I wonder what my generation will be like on hospice or with dementia. We have not memorized scripture as well as our elders. And we who are brethren don't memorize creeds or Hail Marys. What will our hospice chaplains pray with us, I wonder? How will they evoke our deepest memories of church and worship? Memory-impaired people teach me that words do and do not matter. Meaning matters. Words are just one tool for sharing meaning. And we don't have to know how we are healed to be healed. We don't need to understand a miracle to be blessed by it. Psalm 23 holds all of this, the mysterious healing of God's presence. We still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not a psalm saying the miracle is that God gives you immortality and you'll never suffer again. Nope. We are walking, living with death, and we do so with God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The healing isn't that God gets rid of our enemies or turns them into friends. Rather, God's healing presence amidst the worries of our lives means that even in the presence of our enemies, even when we are afraid and off kilter, we are invited to God's table to enjoy a feast of holy presence, the abundant life that Jesus calls us to celebrate. So may Psalm 23, or the Hail Mary, or the Our Father, or your favorite poem or song be a feast for you today. May holy words of comfort and healing be like rain on the arid parts of your life, restoring them to luscious green pastures. May holy words of mystery and peace be sunshine into the shadows of your life until joy overflows your soul and your cup of gratitude runneth over. Amen.